Lord, we do thank you for Colin, for all that he gives, for the way that he transmits his love and passion and energy and enthusiasm and joy for you. Lord, we thank you that he's a man who loves you deeply, but he's a man who loves those that need you even more deeply and wants to see their hearts and their minds and their lives turn round to find relationship with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as he speaks this morning, that you will take his human, earthly words and messages, and Lord, that you will transform them by your Spirit into something of the divine. Lord, that we would capture something of your very heart through the words that he shares. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, Marlo. That is, you know, my heart really is that everyone in this town would encounter Jesus, because he means so much to me and he means so much to us, doesn't he? It's just the best thing. Transformed our lives, given us peace, joy, meaning, hope, quantities in short supply elsewhere. And I just want everybody to know the joy of that. And, you know, when I took on the leadership of River, it was, you know, kind of like a bargain with God. I would only do it if it would be helpful in bringing us to a place where we were seeing people regularly come to know Jesus. And I feel like a failure most of the time, to be honest with you. I really do, because we're not seeing that as often as I'd like to. But 2 weeks ago, I was with the leaders in, we had a leaders' day over at in Old Windsor. And we had Mike Andrea up with us, and they're a church down in Margate. And for the last 3 years, they've seen people saved every week in their services. And he just said over us that God, he wanted to pray, he felt God had asked him to pray a double anointing on us. So I just wanted to declare that over you guys in faith. Because God wants to reach everybody. Everyone that we know, everyone that we encounter in our workplaces, as we shop in Marlow, as we go to school, as we... whenever we meet people, you know, God is wanting to encounter them all. And I just believe there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a shift. So let's keep our hope on. Oh, we're talking about Advent. And I'm talking about ask, seek and knock. Because Advent is about Jesus coming, isn't it? It's about God coming. It's about the kingdom of heaven breaking in. And eventually, after hundreds of years of seeming silence and God maybe not being involved, that actually the heaven comes crashing in, and it's good news and joy for the whole world. And this morning, it's a little bit of that story, really. But it's an invitation. It's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to a closer and deeper friendship with Jesus. So Advent, yes, joy to the whole world. But this morning, I want to talk about ask, seek and knock, which is Advent for all of us. It's Jesus coming afresh into our hearts. Okay? Just nod. It helps me feel better if I see some nodding, smiling faces. So I'll enjoy it more, and then you'll enjoy it more. So let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. It's a passage you all know extremely well. You probably don't need to open your Bibles. You can probably quote it to me word for word. I'll give you a funny picture. Well, you've already seen that picture. Hideous. Thanks, Kerry. So, this is Jesus speaking, one of the first teachings that recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's one of the pages of the Bible that I read one day, 30 years ago, almost exactly, in my university bedroom, and which took me from a place where I didn't know Jesus and I had no idea that God existed to a place where I got on my knees at the end of that evening and knelt down and prayed for the first time and said, Jesus, God, if you're there, come into my life. And I felt really stupid. What am I doing talking to the lights and to the ceiling? But the next day I woke up and everything was different. The whole world was changed. And that was the beginning of a journey for me. And I think God's got some journeys starting today as people again ask, seek, and knock. So, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being relatively evil, it's just, I added the word relatively because that's what it means, relatively compared to God. I think we're relatively evil. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you... I don't have to read that, but I will. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So in order to understand what these verses mean, we need to know where it is. We need to know the context. We need to know what Jesus is doing at this moment. And at this moment, Jesus is doing something really powerful. He's almost enacting a piece of Old Testament history that they're very familiar with. It's a bit like Moses going up on the mountain and receiving the law. This is Jesus going up on the hill and giving his new law, the new covenant, the new agreement. This is a new day, and I'm explaining to you in a better way what Moses tried to explain to you all those years and years and years ago, 1,500 years earlier. So he says things like, you know, you've heard it was written or said, do not commit murder. But I tell you, don't be angry. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, don't even look with lust on a woman or a man. And that's impossible, isn't it? Nothing's impossible with God. I'm just being real. Those things are, you know, almost impossible to keep. It comes after he says, you know, you've heard it was written, you know, everyone who wants to have a divorce can send his wife away, you know, and have a divorce. Give her a certificate. But I say to you, actually, divorce was never in the heart of God. I only gave it to you because you were stubborn. He says, you've heard, you know, justice. You've heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If you want to mete out the correct amount of justice for things that have been done wrong, well, it's punishment in like manner, in like kind. That was the stepping stone. That was the first step. That was just the first step in a long journey into understanding my heart. And my heart is, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless them. You see, the trouble is, religion, okay, always puts God in a distant place. Always, if we follow religion, God will always be out of reach. It's impossible. It's impossible not to look at women lustfully. It's impossible not to feel angry at times. It's impossible not to want justice. It's impossible to actually love our enemies. It's all these things, yeah, they're out of reach in a way. Which is why it didn't come by the law. It comes with a person. And it comes with an invitation. Religion would put God out of reach. Jesus came to bring God into the room. He came to bring God right with us. Emmanuel, Advent. At every turn, the law lets us down. Or we let the law down. And that's just as bad. But something better is coming along. So that's what he's been preaching and teaching them all the ways in which the law has not really been what it's about. There's something better, something deeper, something more intimate, something closer coming, something more powerful, which is almost impossible. But actually, God is asking out of us, be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. Something completely different is coming. And it's fantastic news. It's wonderful news. And this ask, seek, and knock thing comes at the end of all of that. I mean, there's a bit of an interlude where he starts to talk about, you know, if you want to be religious, really, well, you know, give in secret, pray in secret, store up treasure on earth, you know, some basic disciplines to help you. But this comes at the end, and it's about, it says, ask, seek, and knock. And it's a journey into intimacy. Turn to your neighbour, I didn't know that. A journey into intimacy. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Let's explain what we mean by that, because it begins with asking. It always begins with asking. And that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because what does it actually say? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone. That's fantastic news. That's wonderful news. It's not holy people receive. It's not only those who read their Bible every day who receive. It's not only those who spend hours and hours in prayer who receive. It's not only those who keep the Ten Commandments all the time who receive. It's simply those who ask, receive. Isn't that amazing? That's incredible. God is generous. James says, God gives to all without finding fault in chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone needs wisdom, it's in the context of wisdom, he says, should ask the Lord, because the Lord gives to all without finding fault. Amazing. Do we have that in our heads? This is our God. He gives to everyone who asks without finding fault. See, the enemy will come along and say, well, you know, don't bother asking, actually, because you haven't done enough today. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't read your Bibles enough. You're not good enough. You've let God down. Why would God listen to you, for goodness sake? That, if we're honest, we all get those messages all the time. And God says, come on. You know how to give good gifts to your kids. I'm much better. I've got fantastic gifts for you. But I'm not going to force them on you. I'm gentle. You have to ask. Everyone who asks receives. Of course, James does go on to say, he says, yeah, you know, in chapter 4, some of you don't receive. And one of the main reasons is we don't ask. I'll just leave that one up there. We don't receive because we don't ask. And then he goes and says, yeah, and actually, when you do ask, you ask with wrong motives. You want the lottery numbers. You know, you want actually something which is very selfish for yourself. Give me that Ferrari, give me that new house, give me that. You know, that God cannot answer that kind of prayer, okay? The reason he cannot answer that kind of prayer, because it would reinforce selfishness into us. And God is committed to making you like Jesus, who's completely unselfish. So when we ask, let's bear in mind what we're asking for. We're asking for stuff, actually, which is in line with what we know about God. And let's not try and arm wrestle him into just doing something which he can't do. Like break into someone else's life and force them to do something. Force them to marry you. Force them to leave you alone. Force them, whatever, you know. God's not into that. He's a gentle God. But the message is the same. Ask. You know, too many of us are like the elder son. Remember the elder son? In the prodigal son, I'm talking about. The elder son. He comes to the father and he moans. You haven't given me so much as a goat, you stingy git. Sorry, Ian. I love him, really. But that's what he effectively says to his dad. And yet this wasted wastrel comes home. You throw a party for him. You kill the fatted calf. You go ahead. I'm not coming in. And what does God say to him? God says to him, son, or daughter, if you like, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Let the weight of those words sink into you again this morning. Because this is God's generous heart towards you, to all of his children. Not just those who have earned it or deserved it, because God is gracious. Gracious! That means he treats us all better than we deserve. Just ask and I'll do it. Just ask. Another problem is obviously there's warfare goes on as well. Let's not pretend it's straightforward. There is war going on. There is a lot of people rebelling. There's a lot of spirits rebelling. So sometimes there's a crazy amount of stuff. I'm not going to get into that big argument about unanswered prayer. But the basic premise is God says, ask and you'll receive. Ask and you'll receive. And we see that all the time. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I asked God to heal people in the river together. I just said, look, if you got a pain, put your hand on that part of the body that's in pain. And I feel God's going to heal people. So I asked. You know, a week later, someone comes up to me and said, I didn't have any faith when you said that, you know, but I thought I'd do what you ask because I'm obedient, really. So I put my hand on the pain on my hip, and actually, it's been virtually pain-free since. It's been in pain for ages before. That's fantastic. But God loves to do that kind of stuff. The thing is, we just don't ask. Enough. You know, that spiritual warfare, sometimes you tell stories about the persistent widow. You've got to keep on asking. Don't give up. You know, if it doesn't happen, actually acknowledge it's probably warfare. Or I'm asking with wrong motives or something. Actually, just push in and don't back off, but let's push in. Be persistent. Because God loves you. He's never going to hold anything good back from you. Ever. And that's a promise. Everyone who asks receives. You know, there was a lady up a couple of weeks ago. I was up in Newcastle, and I was preaching on the love of God, which is what I love to do, and bringing God into the room and saying similar things, trying to get rid of religion, trying to dispel decades of teaching with a more intimate, powerful, loving God. And she starts. I'm prophesying over some people, and she cries out and she says, the darkness has been chasing me. Save me from the darkness. It's been chasing me for decades. That's a bit scary in a Methodist setting. You don't expect it, you know. And so I went over to her, grabbed hold of her hands and started praying. And she started screaming, ear-splitting screams. I thought my eardrums were going to burst. You know, that's really loud. Top of her voice. I won't do it, otherwise you'll all be running out. And then she slumps back in the chair and there's a lightness and a smile that comes to her face. And she says, it's gone. I'm free. Come on. Yeah, come on. Because God loves to give. God loves to give us what we ask for. You know, they contacted me a week later and they said, she's a transformed lady. She's a different woman. Decades. Jesus. We need him in the room with us, guys. Too often we're like the elder son. Let's get God in the room. Fantastic things happen when God's in the room. The impossible happens when Jesus is here right now. Okay. So that begins with asking. And that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah? That's fantastic. And that invitation is open to everybody. Which is amazing. But it goes on to seeking. Thanks, Gary. The thing is, we're all seeking. The question is, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your energies doing, your resources? What are you looking for? Partner, maybe? Husband, wife? House, career, all good things, food, some of us. What is it we're looking for? Jesus says, doesn't he? Seek first the kingdom. Just a few verses earlier from this, our seek and knock. Seek first the kingdom, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be given you. Everyone runs after these things. Don't run after them. Run after my kingdom and these things will begin. I know God delights to give us a heart's desire. You know, I love the mountains. I go to the mountains and walk in the mountains wherever I can. God knows that. So when I become a Christian, I don't go running off mountaineering and climbing hills and spending my time doing that. I could have, but what God does, he takes me to the Himalayas. And I get to preach the gospel in the Himalayas because God loves to give us a heart's desire. I didn't set out to seek the Himalayas. I sought God and God took me to the Himalayas. I got to live in the highest mountains of the earth. My son was born. Come on, this is amazing. God loves you. He's seeking your good for you more than you are. Seek Him. Put Him first. All these things will be given to you. Come on. That's good news. It's much better than trying to chase after stuff and make it happen yourself. Honestly. It's joyful, absolutely joyful. God says we'll find Him when we seek Him with all of our hearts. You know, I heard some people say, "Well, I tried," you know, and God wasn't there for me. And inwardly, I don't condemn or anything like that. But I think, oh, do you know, did you seek them with all your heart? Did you seek Jesus really, or was it a test you were putting a scientific test to prove He wasn't there or something? Yeah, because I know this God who I reached out to and sought was not difficult to find. And I truly believe that's true for everyone. God is not in the business of hiding away from us. You know, God is in the business. He doesn't hide from us. He hides for us. Anybody who's got kids has played hide and seek. And the whole idea of hide and seek is not so that you go and hide so the kids can't find you. You go and hide so that they can find you, because there's all that tension and build up. There's excitement and waiting for that moment when you go, ah! And they suddenly catch you. And there's that's the joy that springs out. God hides for that joy. Also, you know, if He wasn't hiding, people would be forced to believe in Him. And He's not into that. But anybody who wants to find Him, in fact, if we want to find Him and we're looking in the wrong place, He'll go, "I'm over here." Because that's what we do. God's the same. He loves you. He's wanting to be found by every one of us. So how do we do that? Well, you know, seek God with all your heart. How do you do that? Well, our asking, which is pretty straightforward, ask, receive, has to become talking and listening. Because you realize, actually, when you get into a conversation, when you start asking God for stuff, sometimes you get thoughts that come back to you. And you may not know if they're from God or not, but some of them are. A lot of them are. And God is actually saying stuff to you. Saying, "Well, you've asked for that. Well, actually, why don't you try this? Why don't you do that?" He gives us ideas to make stuff happen. So, you know, I was praying to God, saying, "God, please bless Nepal. I want to bless Nepal. I want to be a blessing to that country." And God says, "Yeah, why don't you ask Pete Hopkinson to help you?" I thought, "What? Can Pete really help me?" Yeah, ask him to set up a microfinance project out in Nepal. You know, that thought came to me. Would it have come to me if I hadn't? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I went and asked Pete, and Pete says, "Yes, you know what? I was thinking about setting up a microfinance somewhere, but Nepal sounds like a good place." And now we have £30,000 in circulation in Nepal being lent out to families, £200 at a time or so, really lifting people out of poverty. Come on. That's a result of talking and listening. It's, you know, that's what happens. The other week I was in a meeting in Maidenhead, and I was preaching, and suddenly came to me that I was preaching on freedom, but actually I felt strongly God wanted to bring freedom to a marriage. This conversation, I was listening. So I said, "Okay, God," you know, I declared it. I said, "God is going to heal a marriage today." No one came forward, and I didn't ask them to stand up, you know, anything like that, because that would be really crass. But, you know, and no one came forward to speak to me, and I didn't expect them to. You know, sometimes you like it if people come and tell you, "Yeah, you know, I was blessed by that." But the next day, someone phoned me up and said, "I want to encourage you, because someone that we brought to church, we're going to leave their partner that day. But because of what God said to them, as you spoke, they decided they wouldn't." You know, that's amazing. Honestly, this is for us to walk into. Chat with God. You'll be surprised what he gives you to say and to do. It won't always be comfortable. So God talks back. Watch. You know, look at, if you're asking for God to do stuff, watch for guidance. Watch for him to keep giving you signs. Like I told you that, I think I told you this already, but forgive me. You know, just again, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was, in fact, maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago, I was, I've been thinking about doing an MA, and I wasn't sure where to do it, or if it was really God's idea, if it was just my own ego wanting to study more, you know, because actually I kind of like studying the Bible. And I arranged to go up to Westminster Theological Centre because we're thinking about, as a group of churches in the area, trying to bring a hub here so that people could do degrees in theology in our area without travelling. And I thought that'd be great. And that morning, I get a text from Bulgaria from a person that I had texted a few days earlier, but I hadn't spoken to for years. And she texted me and said, God's given me a word for you. And he says, I see you going back into academia, doing a PhD or something. And I thought, what? What? Crazy. I had to be blind to miss that one. But yeah, some are easier to miss than that, to be honest. Some signs. But that one was right staring me in the face. Colin, do that. That's a good thing. I'm behind that. So yeah, I'm gonna do an MA with the WTC starting January. Fantastic. Learn. I put learn up there. You know, we've got to learn from each other. We've got to learn from those that have been before. Learn from reading the Bible. The Bible has amazing stories of people that have encountered God, who know him, who know his voice. We've got to do that. And be honest. God's not interested in us pretending that we're holy or that we're the righteous or that we're happy or that we're joyful. He doesn't care. Yeah. He doesn't want us to pretend. What he wants is reality. He just wants us to be honest. Like Job. Job was calling God to account, saying, come down here, God, I want to take you to court. That's what he said. I want to sue you. You've not treated me fair. His friends were saying, you can't say that to God. That's blasphemous. You win bag. They used heady statements in those days to insult one another. But at the end of the book, God says to them, you better get Job to pray for you because you have not spoken well of me as my servant Job has. Because Job was honest. God doesn't want pretentious religious people. He just wants honest relationships with us. Lastly then, just to finish off, knock. What are we doing when we knock? We're asking to come in. Yep. We're getting attention. What else are we doing? We're communicating, yes. Telling someone we're outside. Open the door. Why? I want to come in. Why? There's a barrier between us. Yes, I want to meet you. I want to sit down with you. I want to have a cup of tea with you. I want to chew the cud. I just want to hang out with you. You see, we go from asking to talking and listening and watching and learning, whatever. Actually, the pinnacle is just to hang out with Jesus. Just to hang out with him. You see why it's a progression, why it's a journey. And this is what he says. Knock and the door will be open to you. My door is always open to you. I'm never going to keep a barrier between me and you. You're always welcome to come in and have a cup of tea with me. To spend time with me. That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. And I could teach about that, but I just want to tell a little story. You see, Jesus wants us to be with him. He wants us to experience his presence. He's called Emmanuel. He's called God with us. He wants us all to encounter him. But he does wait for the knock. It's frustrating, isn't it? I wish he would just burst into everybody's life and say, here I am. It's joy. It's life. But he just waits. Forgive me if I told you this story before. It's within the last year. But a guy called Poe came up to me, and he was desperate. He said, "I want an encounter with God." He comes from America. He's quite in your face. "I want an encounter with God. I've been at River Church for a couple of years, and I've not had one. It's got to be real. I'm not going to fake it." I said, "Fine." Inside, I'm thinking, "Oh dear, you've been here for a couple of years. What am I doing? What are we doing?" I said, why don't you do Ignite? So he said, "Okay, I'll do Ignite." Well, 6 months into Ignite, he comes back to me. He says, he comes and had lunch. He says, "I still haven't had my encounter." I thought, flip. I said, "Don't worry. You know, the course isn't finished yet. We're halfway through. But, you know, don't worry." So he comes on the trip to Nepal with me and Phil and Richard. And we have a fantastic time. But one of the first things we do, we go to these pastors and we get to this room and Poe's the last one. And he gets into the room and his jaw hits the floor. Now, on the way there, he'd been telling Phil and others about the dreams he's been having about and seeing people and seeing places. And when he gets into this room, one of the faces from his dream is there. I know, it's cool, isn't it? God saying, "Hello, fake this." The colour scheme from his dream was also the colour scheme in the room. Yeah, thank you for the details. Yeah, I forget details. But anyway, his jaw hits the floor. Then we have a fantastic time with these pastors. And then we go back to that guy's house. And his church is next door. And his father's the apostle who's planted hundreds or tens of churches in the region. And we're looking around the church. And Phil says, "Hey, Poe, this is the place from your dream." And he says, "I know. Because the church is exactly what he described to Phil on the bus on the way there." Then, later on in that trip, he preaches a sermon. He's never preached in his life. He preaches a sermon that God gave him in that dream. God gave him those dreams in December, by the way. Okay, so he was still moaning at me 3 or 4 months later, saying he hadn't had an encounter. But God had already begun. So often we moan at God when he's already begun. We just haven't recognized it. He preached that sermon that he was given in his dream, and there were tears. Nepali, young Nepali people in tears as they encountered God through his. Then he prayed for someone who was sick, who had a lump on their shoulder, nothing happened, but they went away and come back and said, "Look, it's gone." Blown away. His life has turned upside down. I had dinner with him last night. He's now organising a trip. Before he's going back to the States next year. Before he's got there, he's already phoning around his mates, telling them about Nepal, getting them a whole posse together to take them out to Nepal. Come on. He took his family out last month. I had the privilege of going with him. We had this wonderful time with a youth conference where his daughter got involved in deliverance. His son gave a testimony and ended up praying for 350 young people. You know, fantastic. Their lives have been turned upside down by that encounter. But it begins with us knocking. And sometimes persistently knocking. Guys! We need this, don't we? And God is saying to us, forget the past. Forget it. It's gone. Walk into the new day. These stories I've been telling you today have happened mostly in the last weeks, but certainly in the last year. They're not old stories. There's a new thing happening. There's a new grace. I believe there's a new thing going on. God's stepping up things. That church where they're seeing people saved every week, I want to walk into that. That's only going to happen as we all are seek and knock. We all have a personal advent. And it doesn't have to wait till Christmas. It can come right now. The truth is we all need to be asking more. Some of us need to start asking. The more hope we have, the more we'll ask. The more faith we have, the more we'll pray. Some of us need to seek God. We need to sign up on streams. We need to come to Wayne Drain. We need to get into our Bibles. We need to do stuff just to demonstrate, actually, we're seeking. Put God first. Don't have him at the end of the track. And some of us need to knock. Get into that encounter in space. I'm not faking it, Jesus. I want a proper encounter with you in these days. Because Jesus is there and the door is always open. He said, "I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through me. Shall we pray? Come on. Fire fall, Lord Jesus. Let fire fall. That's the good news. Wonderful news that you're for us. Life is a joy. Yes, it's a pain at times. Yes, there's hardships. Yes, there's so much I don't understand. Yes, I think I do a rubbish job a lot of the time. But Lord, life is a joy. Knowing you, knowing you're with us. Life is a joy. Thank you for inviting us to walk it more closely with you. And forgive us, Lord God. Forgive me where I've not asked enough and relied too much on my own strength and too much on doing what I want to do. Forgive me where I haven't put seeking you first. Lord Jesus, if you're there, as I cried out all those years ago, I cry out again today. I need you. Come into my life again today. Help me to live this life. I want to know you better. And those of you that want to, pray with me and say, Lord, we're knocking. I'm knocking today. I need an encounter with you. Not last year's encounter, not last decade's encounter, not the encounter I had when I first started to believe. I need an encounter with the living God, the God who loves me today. A fresh encounter, a new encounter, a life-changing encounter. I want to walk into this new season that you have for us, that you have for me and my family and my work. I want to walk into this new day with new hope, forgetting the past and pressing on to take hold of all that you've called me heavenward in Christ Jesus to lay hold of. Help me. Let your grace flow to me today. Thank you. That there's nothing I can do to earn it. You simply say, everyone who asks receives. Thank you for that promise. Amen.